Russian and Ukrainian delegations have met for a first round of talks as Russia's attack slowly advances further into Ukraine. Meanwhile, the U.S. and European allies have stepped up their military support for Ukraine as Russian President Vladimir Putin invokes the threat of nuclear war. Here and Now security analyst Jim Walsh is here for more. Hi, Jim.
Good to be with you.
And do you expect any significant breakthroughs with these talks between the Russians and the Ukrainians today?
Well, I think both parties feel like they have to go through the motions, and both are, or at least the Ukrainians are rightly skeptical. Now, the way negotiations work is they work over a long period of time, so maybe later down the road, but certainly not today.
Yeah, and it seems as though Vladimir Putin is escalating. Over the weekend, he put his nuclear forces on high alert. Here he is speaking through an interpreter.
Top officials in leading NATO countries have allowed themselves to make aggressive comments about our country. Therefore, I hereby order the Minister of Defense and the Chief of the General Staff to place the Russian Army Deterrence Force on combat alert.
All right. So first of all, let's kind of parse through this. It seems important. What is the Nuclear Deterrence Force, and how significant was that move by Vladimir Putin?
Well, Russia possesses roughly 45% of the world's nuclear weapons, enough to end life as we know it. Maybe not all of it, but most of it. Now, as to whether how significant an event it is, yes, it's a significant event. It would be significant if a country with nuclear weapons went on alert in general. But to go on alert in the middle of launching an invasion against a European country with 40 million people, that's really a crisis context. And so actions during crises, you know, are watched more closely and can have greater consequences.
There had been some analysis that Putin responded this way because, first of all, his invasion isn't going the way that he planned. Also, perhaps the sanctions are biting. Why do you think he escalated so quickly?
Well, I think part of what we have to do here is focus on what he said. The clip you played suggested that he felt he should go on nuclear alert because of aggressive criticism. You know, that doesn't really add up very well. I think basically there are two possibilities here. One, he's serious, right? And that means we're in a far stranger and dangerous world that any of us have fully appreciated, if he actually means it. I don't think he does mean it, but that's a possibility. And of course, the second is that he doesn't mean it. But what story has he told himself that this is going to be useful or helpful? I mean, it's not for domestic consumption, right? He sort of suppressed coverage of the invasion back home in Russia. So who exactly is he talking to, and what is he trying to accomplish with it? Now, has he made extreme statements before on nuclear weapons? Yes. But again, this is just a very different situation, a land grab, a major war. It's troubling.
If his audience was the United States, they don't seem to be having much of it. The White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said that what he did was manufacturing threats that don't exist in order to justify further aggression. And so the United States is not responding in kind with an escalation of its own. What do you think about that? Is that wise policy?
I think it is. I think it's wise for Biden to take this one step at a time. Putin announced that he was moving to higher alert, but the U.S. and everyone else is watching with satellites, eyes, and everything to see what that means in terms of action. Does Putin move bombers out onto the airway? Does he take other sorts of steps associated with making nuclear weapons more ready and usable? If he matches the words with actions, then we may see the U.S. defensively respond in kind. But I think the focus of U.S. policy is, and you saw some reporting on it over the weekend, it's basically military officials in the Pentagon, one or two in particular, are reaching out to their colleagues in Moscow and having back-channel discussions, presumably discussions aimed at reassuring each side that whatever the policymakers are saying or the politicians, the reality is that no one actually plans to fight a nuclear war here. So I think communication and reassurance are our main policy response. And then we're going to keep an eye on things to see how these words lead to actions on the part of Putin.
What about Belarus and the concern that their forces might join the fight with Russia? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, several things about Belarus. One, it is a party to the conflict, as it is. It allowed Russia to stage all those troops in its territory in order to invade. You'll see in the news, in a related development, that they announced that they're breaking the Budapest Memorandum, revising their constitution so that they can accept nuclear weapons to be staged on Belarusian territory. Essentially, Belarus has pretty much ceded its sovereignty to Russia at this point, at least when it comes to military and security affairs.
Here and now, security analyst Jim Walsh, I want to ask you about what's happening on the ground in this battle. The Ukrainians, as we've seen for days now, putting up a pretty valiant fight. I wonder how much of that is about the supplies, the equipment, the weapons, and the money that's flowing in from Europe and other allies. Is that helping set back the Russian advance?
Outside supply definitely can be part of it, but I think there are other things going on too. So, you know, the Russians really haven't launched an invasion against a hostile targets, I don't know, it's what, 1979 in the Afghanistan? It's not clear to me they're really prepared to do this. And I think you saw in the rollout, they had logistics problems, supply chain problems, transportation problems that all slowed them down. And the Ukrainians have rallied, and motivation counts for a lot. It doesn't count for everything. They're still outgunned and they're still outnumbered, but it counts for something. And my guess is there might be people, you know, from other governments on the ground causing the Russians havoc. That's pure speculation on my part, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's happened in history before. The deal here is this. The poor Ukrainians are hopelessly overmatched. That's the truth. But the thing is, can they be a porcupine here and make it as slow and costly as possible? And the slower and more costly it is, the more pressure, together with sanctions and domestic unhappiness in Russia, and all that stuff builds up. The thing is, if you cannot lose, then you will win. The Ukrainians will win if they cannot lose, and they're determined to try.
Here and now, security analyst Jim Walsh, thanks for your expertise. As always, we appreciate it.
Thank you.